This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Well, you know, whether it's a 12-step program that you choose to take to deal with your recovery and any other healthy path you're looking to take, you may have triggers that you work to remove from your life. And many current addiction treatment programs often focus on the external ways to get you on the path to your recovery. But to be fully transformative, a recovery journey must also include purposeful internal work. My guest today, Joe Kelzer, is the co-founder and CEO of The Clearing. The Clearing is a residential addiction treatment center that focuses on identifying the core underlying issues at the heart of addiction. Joe is here today to share how he combines evidence-based treatment methods with his experience as a spiritual psychologist to transform and save lives. So honored to have you with me today, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I just so value, you know, leaders in this industry like yourself that really get people to see that there's some meaningful internal work to do, which is really, I think, the more sustainable route in terms of having long-term sobriety. And is that something you discuss with your clients right away? Is that something that you have a personal intention to share with everybody?
It really is, Erica. When we learned how to do spiritual psychology and how to really heal issues, we did it experientially. So actually in graduate school, we were all healing our own issues while we went through the program. And it's very powerful. And then we had the experience of having a really close friend who had a dual diagnosis issue, and we really couldn't find the place for them that would truly deal with dual diagnosis. They wanted to deal with talking about substances and so forth, but they didn't want to actually deal with the underlying core issues. And that's how we wound up doing it.
And let's just tell the audience what a dual diagnosis is for people that really aren't as familiar with the language.
Yeah. So a dual diagnosis is anytime you're dealing with substance abuse and a mental health issue, you have dual diagnosis. So that's really what we specialize in here at The Clearing. And really what we found, Erica, as we started working with folks is we really realized that it wasn't about the substances. It's about the depression, the anxiety, the self-loathing, the hopelessness, the issues around trauma and loss and despair. That's the stuff that really has people using. So if we can heal that, then they have a great road to recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I don't know how much you know about me, but I do work with people one-on-one on a daily basis at an outpatient center in Los Angeles. And really, they're, you know, right now the demographic is a bit younger, and we have this opioid epidemic going on in our country. And a lot of these younger people, you know, are not made aware of that right away until they get into kind of our hands. And then we really delve into, like you said, the core injuries, the issues that have gone on, you know, some narratives that have been negative and unhelpful in their lives, and kind of start to unpeel that backwards and seeing, you know, where it came from and how to change it, how to reframe their thoughts and how to be more positive in their lives. What are you seeing now in terms of people coming up at your center? Are you dealing with this opioid problem? Are you feeling like the world is changing in terms of treating drug and alcohol abuse?
Well, we are dealing with the opioid problem. There's no doubt about it. And it's not just younger folks. It's all kinds of people who, especially folks with chronic pain, right, who found it harder and harder to get the pain meds they needed. So they went kind of off the reservation into things that were easier and cheaper to get, heroin being the big one, right? Opiates are opiates when you're in pain. In terms of the industry changing, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I've really seen that. I guess I'll ask you, but I see a lot of people talking. I see dual diagnosis becoming a marketing term, but I don't really see them putting the effort behind the work that needs to be done to truly assist folks with those underlying core issues. It's sort of like, hey, same program, let's just change the name.
You know? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, Joe, if somebody's listening now and dealing with depression or bipolar or some kind of mental illness of any kind, anxiety, sometimes the question is like, is it my drug use? Is it my drinking? Is it my overeating? That is fueling the depression, that is fueling the anxiety. If some people don't have a clear diagnosis of what's going on with them mentally, they're just dealing with the feeling of being overwhelmed and the feeling of being sad and hopeless. How do we get people to first at least try to be abstinent long enough so that they can figure out what's really going on? Because I think so many people walk into a treatment center sometimes and some doctor puts them on a bunch of different antidepressants. And then, later on when they clear up and they spend some time healing, we come to find maybe they're really not depressed to the level where they need these meds,
Yeah, we run across that all the time. We have people that come in with this long laundry list of things that they, they're ADD, ADHD, this D, that D, another D. And we're like, yeah. Hey, was this all diagnosed while you were using? And they said, yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah. So we don't know what you are until we actually get clean. Here's the real, I get it. The real crux of it is it's very, very hard to take away my medication, my substances, without having something to deal with the mental and emotional pain that started me using. So when I take away my substances, I just have all of that, all those feelings right there in my face. And what am I supposed to do about it? So, so we really like, hey, let's do the detox and then let's get right into working with the underlying, issues. And I think also, Erica, there's this, well, hey, am I depressed because I use or do I use because I'm depressed? The chicken and the egg thing.
Right,
and,
right.
We just simplify it. It's like the mental illness came first. It just,
Right.
Because
right.
Nobody's using just because they like to use to the point where it's destroying their life.
So it was
the mental illness first. Let's take care of that.
Right. Yeah. And that's for the instances where there is mental illness. And also let's just talk also about the labeling that comes with all of that. And especially, I know that your center, and we'll talk about your center, is that you have so many different approaches. And I realize that sometimes some people go through certain treatment centers and certain programs that they become really reliant on the labeling almost. Like they give themselves an excuse. Oh, I'm selfish and I'm self-centered because it's quoted in a book that they read, and I have a disease and and it really, what I find is that they start hiding behind that label and giving themselves an excuse to keep using or relapsing or, for their poor behavior, instead of seeing that they do have choices and their behavior may have exhibited some self-centeredness at points and times, especially when they're hijacked by drugs and alcohol, but that does not mean that they have that labeled and that kind of, value system forever, And so, I don't know if you've come across this or have experienced this, but if you have, just curious of how you deal with that and kind of your thoughts around the labeling and the kind of maybe negative sayings that kind of allow people to stay stuck.
Yeah. In what you say, it reminds me of the work of Carolyn Mace around woundology, and her approach is that, hey, we get attached to our woundedness. Because it gives a sense of belonging, and we create groups around our woundedness, and we take take trips with each other because of our woundedness, and it becomes our identity, and we don't have to do that. We do, Erica. We see people they get on the phone with us when we first talk with them, and boy, they just spit out that list, of all of the things that are wrong with them, as if it's sort of some kind of a victim kind of thing. Like, well, I just have this stuff, and we really just kind of ignore all that. And it's just like, well, okay, let's work with the mental and emotional stuff that has me thinking that I'm this way,
right?
Because it's just the same thing. It's just like let's work with those mental those limiting beliefs and those judgments, and let's work with those emotional aspects that have me feeling all of this stuff, because I just want to work with it. I don't want to put a label on it. I don't care about the label. I just want to
let's talk about the clearing for a minute. I've heard so many wonderful things about your facility. Can you tell everybody where it is and how you got started?
Sure. Well, the clearing is actually a 64-acre farm on San Juan Island in Washington State. So
awesome.
We are, the San Juan Islands are 170-some-odd islands in the middle of Puget Sound, and we're on the second largest one of those, which confusingly is called San Juan Island. So,
yeah.
But we're outside the town of Friday Harbor, and the way we got started was that Betsy and I, that's my wife, we, as I mentioned, we had a friend who had an issue associated with bulimia and alcohol. And so we had known Dr. Scott Alpert for many years, and he's our third co-founder. And so we called Scott. We were in Washington State. He was in Los Angeles. And we said, hey, we're looking for a really good dual diagnosis facility. And we all went to the same graduate school, the University of Santa Monica, for spiritual psychology. And he called us back in a couple of days, and he said, you know, I found some people that say they do dual diagnosis, but I haven't found anybody that says that that actually does what you guys are looking for. And so we started talking. We said, hey, we know how to do this. We do it every day. Maybe if nobody's doing this, maybe we should try doing it. What do you guys think? And that's the start of the clearing. It was to actually approach treatment with a blank piece of paper. Don't look at what everybody else is doing. Don't look for what insurance wants to pay for or not pay for. Don't look at any of that kind of stuff. But if we were going to put together a program where people could really, really heal, what would that program look like? And that's what we did.
That's
and,
fantastic.
That was, I guess that's 3 years ago now. And we do people in groups. So everybody starts at the same time, and they go through the program together. And they end at the same time. And we just finished our 29th group. So,
wow, how cool.
We're excited about that.
Wonderful.
So
and
we
how
just
long
took a different...
Is,
we,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask how long the program is for, if people are listening and want to know.
Yeah, well, our program is a very specific 28-day program. It is a post-detox program, so we're going to use all 28 days in treatment. We work with a really small group of people, a maximum of 10 people at a time, lots of individual attention, 120 hours of scheduled counseling. Most of that is individual in nature, and then there's a whole host of informal counseling that we just do right in the moment. You know, when you see somebody ready to work on something, it's like, well, let's do it now.
So it sounds very unique.
That's what we've been told. We're very unique. Sometimes we've been told that, not in a good way, I guess, but, you know, we're very unique. But it really
sounds
is
wonderful.
A loving, caring, healing place where the only people that are here are the folks who really want to heal. We can't help somebody who isn't ready to do the work.
Right.
But for those folks that are ready to do the work, we've got a really great staff, and, you know, it's all about teaching them the counseling skills and the strategies and the concepts so that they can discover their issues, and then we show them how to heal it. Not how to cope with it. Let's actually heal it. That's what we do.
So you heal the issues, but then after the 28 days, we do need to provide people with coping skills too, right? Because, you know, if they're in a bubble of treatment, which, you know, we know it is very hopefully supportive and loving and healing, and then they walk into the real world, back to their families, back to their jobs, back to the challenges of everyday life, and they don't have necessarily that same exact support system, obviously not the same environment. So how do you see coping skills and giving people tools, and how do you guys, how does your aftercare program work in to support your clients?
Yeah, it's a great question. So from our perspective, we probably ought to talk about what a coping skill is, because I suspect you and I are in agreement about what they are and what they aren't. But what we want them to do is to continue to use their healing tools to continue to work with the things that come up in their life on a daily basis. So we've got to keep doing this. Can't go home and put the book on the shelf and say, wow, that was a great month. And that won't work. You got to keep working issues as they come up in your life.
So what are the healing tools that you're talking about?
Well, we use mainstream psychological counseling strategies. So at the mental level, we use rational emotive therapy. So that's where we're working with the judgments, the limiting beliefs, and projections that come up in our lives.
Uh-huh.
And the healing tool around that is something called self-forgiveness, and it is a really great way to be able to release those judgments and to reframe those rules that are causing problems in my life. Uh-huh. So that's at the mental level. At the emotional level, we teach Gestalt and developmental psychology and neuro-linguistic programming to work with the emotional aspects, you know, those parts inside that went through the various traumas or came into existence to help me deal with this kind of situation or that kind of situation. And they've just outlived their usefulness. So we really mm-hmm. need to work with those feelings and assign those aspects a different job. So it's very, very powerful emotional level work, centered mm-hmm. mostly around Gestalt and the original work of Fritz Perls that, okay. that started that. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
So those are the tools that we put in place. Aftercare. So we've now worked with people from 28 states and Canada. So our aftercare program is all about supporting folks after they leave here to implement all the tools and the habits that they've learned here back in their life away from the clearing. So mm-hmm. for at least next 10 weeks after they leave us, we want to stay highly, highly involved in their life. Our aftercare program never ends. So you mm-hmm. can be in it for as long as you want. You can leave it and come back to it. You know, you're always welcomed as a graduate of the clearing. And so what we're doing, in no particular order, we have 3 conference calls a week. It's our version of a meeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in these calls, we talk about our wins and our challenges. And in our challenges, we want to talk about what tools they're using to work with those challenges. And they're like, mm-hmm. well, I got this going on. I'm like, okay. So have you done any work around the projections of that? Oh, yeah, I forgot to do that. Okay, so there you go. It's always about the tools. Let's use the tools. And then we also have a text group. So while any graduate of any one of our programs can be on the conference call, there's also a text group of just your class, just the group that you went through. And that way, all you have to do is respond to the text, and your whole group is going to hear what you have to say. Whether you're celebrating something or asking for some help, right there it is.
Yeah.
And, of course, our aftercare staff is available anytime. We say, you know, you can reach us by phone, by email, by text, by smoke signal, whatever it is that you need. But you can reach out to us, and we're there to help as well. We're not going to be we're going to help with, let's talk about what tools you're using and how you're using them and how we can help you with that. That's always the message.
Right. Right, right. And yeah, and just really quick about tools, texting for support and having these groups of people that have been through the program together and holding themselves accountable to one another is, I'm sure, very powerful and also extremely supportive for them. And it's just, you know, it's something else which we could talk about in the second half of the show with you, but I just really would love to discuss too how technology really is changing our world in many ways, and how we can, you know, use technology for distracting ourselves in negative ways, but also we can use it for coming together and really, you know, showing one another support that I don't think we could get necessarily so quick that we, you know, like 20 years ago that we could today, which means if you need help immediately, saying, I just need to talk to somebody, or I just need a word of encouragement, or, you know, whatever it is, know someone's there, you know, we can get a hold of people in a matter of seconds, which I think is really helping people in recovery these days in a different way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, so we embrace it completely. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people now would rather text than talk. So we find
right.
that a lot. I'm reticent to get on the phone with you, but I would love to text with you about it. Like, okay, so let's use whatever
yeah.
works. And mm-hmm. and your point about it's available 24/7, you know, it really is. So, mm-hmm. You know, we can be anywhere and be supporting one of our graduates because here comes their message. It's like,
right.
okay, let's take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And also to encourage one another to, you know, stay in touch. I think that's, you know, I know it's very powerful for people that have long-term sobriety to have these new relationships, because I feel like when they're going through this kind of bottom, internal bottom or external bottom of their lives, or you know, or just the spiritlessness that they feel when they're entering a center, usually most people are, to bond with people to bond with people and really share what it's like to climb out of the darkness and into the light is really a special, I think, bond to have in a journey that, you know, they'll never forget. So I love that you encourage them to keep in touch and that it's the same people, because I know how disarming it could be when the people are coming in and out of treatment centers and you don't really get to make friendships that last and you feel like people are just, you know, those relationships are very short term.
Yeah. So we, as we tell people, it's a wonderful healing tool for everybody to go through the program together. It's a really bad business model. It's a horrible business model to say, yeah, you can join us in 2 weeks, you know, but it's a really great healing model. And to your point about, you know, people being able to talk with each other and so forth, it's very important for these folks to not isolate.
Yeah.
It's very important. I swear, isolation and treatment are, they just don't go together. So it's
absolutely
just really important.
Right. Yeah. So Joe, let's tell everybody where they can, you know, where they could find you, get a hold of you and, you know, and how they could kind of find out more about the clearing.
Oh, super. Yeah. So, we have a really great website that talks all about the clearing. We're at www.theclearingnw.com, theclearingnw.com. And, you can go ahead.
Oh, no, go on. I'll ask you after. Yeah.
And, of course, you can always just reach out to us. Our phone number is 425-275-8600. So we'd love to hear from you. And people can reach out to us and talk about what's going on for them. They may not be ready for treatment yet. They may be simply looking into things, trying to gather some information, trying to understand the industry. They're not going to call us and get a big sales pitch. Our process is to educate people. And in that education, they'll determine whether we're the right place or not. We'd much rather they understand what their options are and pick the right program for them as opposed to getting some kind of, you know, quick sales process from us. So we don't do that.
So, and Joe, just really quick too, where you're located, it sounds like a beautiful, beautiful spot and in nature and on tons of acres of property. And, so people that want to maybe get out of their hometown, get out of their environment, I always encourage people to go somewhere away from your home, because usually there's a lot of triggers and a lot of things that will keep you kind of stuck if you don't kind of physically remove yourself. And have you found that to be true too, that people really, really start to, appreciate the surroundings of where you're located? It sounds like it's just something very unique as well.
Well, they do. You know, they really do enjoy the natural surroundings. Most people get to where they enjoy watching the animals or even, you know, feeding some of them and that sort of thing. And the surroundings are wonderful, and they certainly help the program. It's not the program itself, right? The program itself is, Let's learn the tools and let's work with the issues that brought me here. But the surroundings certainly help. You know, it's very peaceful.
Right.
It's loving. It's quiet, and it certainly helps with the introspection.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it. It sounds like you have a wonderful staff of people, probably that are, you know, obviously specialists in each of their each of their fields, and it sounds like you do really delve into the spiritual nature of what it is to recover, which I really appreciate, because I don't think a lot of people know that word or familiar with that kind of language, and I know it's a little intimidating to them at first, and feel that you probably can explain it better than most, since you have, you know, you have your degree in spiritual psychology.
Well, all right. Yeah. So, you know, the very first thing for everybody to realize is that spirituality does not equal religious. So
right.
We're not talking about a particular dogma or anything like that. But rather, let's discover and strengthen your own personal, unique relationship with the divine, however you see that.
Right.
And let's work with that. So in our case, we do have the 21 Principles of Spiritual Psychology. They're all on our website. They come up in our program organically. We don't work with each one of those things specifically. But for example, we'll start at the very beginning with, hey, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. So,
right.
That, you know, if you really think about that, like, okay, So I thought I was striving to be spiritual. No, you already are spiritual, just by the fact that you exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a completely different take on this process. Well, wow, what if I'm already a spiritual being, and I'm just having a human experience? Okay, then I can stop striving to be spiritual. I already am. Let's go from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then things like, and this one's great, things like this. And then that, hey, the issue isn't actually the issue. How I am with myself as I go through the issue, that's the real issue. It's not the thing that I'm dealing with. It's my relationship with me while I go through that thing.
Right.
And
right.
Then finally, that spirit meets us at our point of action. You know, it's our job to take the first step. We can't just sit there like a bump on a pickle and think that things are going to change.
We need to
actually be involved in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's just
action.
A few of them.
Yeah, no, I love those. I love it. And action is so important. Joe, thank you so much for being with me today. It was really a pleasure to have you on. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you all for joining us, and stay well.